When some of our colleagues took a road trip along the U.S.-Mexico border, they drove a two-lane strip of asphalt called Highway 9.
Oh, we're on the road again. It's early morning.
Morning Edition Steve Inskeep was looking for more stories of people, goods, and culture that crossed the border. This road led mile after mile through the desert, parallel to the U.S. border fence.
If you look to the east, you can see the craggy mountains in West Texas on the horizon. We've left them behind. We've just passed into New Mexico. It took us days to get across the giant state of Texas while zigzagging in and out of several Mexican states. Now we're on our way to Columbus, New Mexico, a border village with a storied past and a troubled recent history. They've just elected a new mayor, and we're on the way to the inauguration.
Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, when I say I, you say your name, okay?
Okay, do I raise my hand?
Yes. I,
Philip Skinner,
having been elected or appointed to the office of mayor.
It was a simple ceremony in an office in City Hall. A sign on the wall said, please, no complaints today, come back tomorrow. City Treasurer Ned Barr said a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today that we have a peaceful transition of government. What an awesome thing.
Especially awesome because of how the last elected mayor left office. He was arrested in 2011 for smuggling guns across the border into Mexico. So was the police chief and several other residents.
Here's one of the boys that got caught in the raid.
We drove around town with the new mayor's sister, Martha Skinner, who's a former mayor herself. She also runs the bed and breakfast where I stayed. And she recalled the night federal agents took down the city government.
Boy, I'm telling you, I thought that we were in Afghanistan. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I woke me up the helicopters, and I came out the front door. There were lights, blue and red lights, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they were throwing those bombs that they explode, and they have a lot of light in them.
Our producer, Nishant Dahiya, who's actually spent time in war zones, thought he recognized what she was describing.
They called flashbangs?
They're like stun grenades.
Oh, I'm telling you. And then the news just kept going quick. They took the mayor, they took the police chief, the people that owned the store.
Martha Skinner calls this the second raid. She wants to distinguish between that and the far more famous first raid. You see evidence of that first raid in Columbus at the local museum. We visited with Ned Barr, the same official who said the prayer at the inauguration.
This room is about the Pancho Villa raid.
Pancho Villa, the Mexican revolutionary leader. He sent soldiers across the border in 1916, and they burned part of Columbus. A bank safe from that period sits in the museum.
This was a target. They wanted money, of course. A shot was fired and went through this quarter-inch steel.
The raid prompted the U.S. Army to cross the border hunting Pancho Villa. They never found him. But the raid gave Columbus its place in history. And as we moved about town, people told us they had just held their annual commemoration.
You ought to come back for the 100th year celebration. It's going to be a big-time celebration.
So we heard from the morning gathering at the Columbus American Legion. People chat and drink coffee for 50 cents per cup. But if Columbus has embraced the 1916 raid, the 2011 raid was devastating. One man said there was low turnout in the recent mayor's election.
Well, a lot of people here are ex-felons, and we can't vote.
Hey! That was a joke.
In truth, it was a close election with several hundred votes cast in a town of about 1,600. After his inauguration, the new mayor, Philip Skinner, met us for lunch on the patio of the Patio Cafe in Columbus. We talked about the aftermath of the second raid.
Has there been a process of getting over that in the town? Does there need to be a process? Is the town over that?
No, I don't think so. And I think there needs to be.
Skinner knows the border was the downfall of the former mayor. He also thinks the border can be part of his town's salvation. He's a businessman who developed real estate in Columbus years ago. He sometimes crossed through the border checkpoint to Palomas, Mexico.
For the first few years that I was down here, I was scared to death all the time. I could remember almost kissing the ground when I came back across because I had fear, as maybe any new tourist might have.
But Skinner got to know people in Palomas. For a time, he ran a Palomas furniture factory, a maquiladora. Now he's talking of starting a binational festival to promote his border town. And though he's politically conservative, he's come to wish the security at the border was less intense.
If I could change the security thing, I'd go back to 50 years ago, right? We wouldn't have all the border patrolmen and things like that on the border. I recognize the reason for it, okay? think it was probably a much better time when we didn't have all the security fears.
And then the new mayor of Columbus headed off to one of his other jobs. It's a job that says a lot about his town's links to the border. His job involves the kids at Columbus Elementary School.
Niños, ayúdenme. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
On the day of our visit, they were holding a pep rally at the end of the day. Then they headed for the school buses.
Come on, kiddos. Walk.
One of the bus drivers is Mayor Philip Skinner. He steered his vehicle toward the border crossing. So we're here at the border crossing between Columbus and Palomas, Mexico, watching hundreds of school kids get off these buses. It's actually a couple of shifts of school buses to take them down to the border to cross over. Most of the kids we saw in that gymnasium actually live in Mexico and come to school here in the United States. As U.S. citizens, they're entitled to do so. Mayor Skinner dropped off the kids, and they walked across the border to meet their families. Then Mayor Skinner strolled with us through the border checkpoint and into Palomas. He introduced us to a woman with blonde hair, the mother of some of the kids he drives.
Her husband and her have the most wonderful Chinese restaurant.
No. You're too nice.
The woman's name was Bianca Luna. She has four kids, age 4, 6, 8, and 10.
I sat here from about 3 to almost 4, waiting, because they each come on a different bus.
Oh, man.
She says all her kids were born in Arizona, which is where Bianca Luna grew up. And how long have you been living here?
I got here in December. We came to visit. My kids said they wouldn't leave their dad, so.
We had that feeling we got again and again in the borderland, that we just heard the start of an unbelievable story. They wouldn't leave their dad, the mother had said.
What do you mean, wouldn't
leave their dad? We came to visit for Christmas vacation, and we were going back to Arizona, and they told me they wouldn't leave.
Because their dad is here and can't go to Arizona.
He signed a voluntary.
That means he signed a voluntary agreement to leave the United States and avoid an official deportation. Bianca Luna told us the full story. Her husband, she says, is Mexican. He migrated illegally to the United States in the 1990s. He was just a teenager. He ended up working in several Chinese restaurants in the Panda Express chain, and that's where he met his wife. But he was caught last year in an Arizona traffic stop, detained for 6 months, and thrown out. He ended up here in Palomas, Mexico, where Bianca joined him.
My whole family's like, oh, my God, you're going? I said, what am I supposed to do? My kids need their dad. He was incarcerated 6 months, and it tore them apart.
So the former Panda Express workers were reunited. And they really do have a Chinese restaurant in Palomas. The sign says El Pandita Asiatico Express. There's a panda painted in front. It's a simple place where the father works over the flames in the kitchen. Miguel Angel Luna told us he's trying to figure out how to reclaim his family's life in the United States. We didn't know his prospects, but we did know where to buy dinner that night. The restaurant served orange chicken and a dish called Hong Kong. It was the best American-style Chinese food we had in Mexico.
There's more ahead, and we hope you'll stay with us. Thanks for making NPR News a part of your daily routine.